Hey, this is WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the HTC Wrestling Podcast with Justin C. and Cam D. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Welcome to the HTC Wrestling Podcast. We are recording this Tuesday night again, August 28th, being published on August 29th. I am your host, Justin C., joined as always by my co-host, Cam Doherty, here to talk about the news of the week from Raw and SmackDown over the last couple of days, as well as All In, which is taking place this Saturday in Chicago. Kind of got a little preview going on there, and kind of like a comparative thing we're going to talk about later, where if you could put together the best WWE card possible with everybody that's on the roster and the card you have for All In, which show would you attend? So we'll get into that later on in the show, but before we start, Cam, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, like just said, it's a little different change of pace podcast this week. It's gets a little bit more independent wrestling based, and I'm excited to discuss that and put it out for the Twitter world to see, you know, what would they choose, All In or a WWE Super House Show.
Yep, exactly. It's a big weekend ahead to see how this all plays out, especially for these guys in the Bullet Club. But before we get to them, we're going to talk about a couple of things, the big news items that happened this past week from Raw and SmackDown. Starting with Raw, and the story obviously coming out of that is the heel turn of Braun Strowman. Going into the night, Roman asking Braun to come out there and face him face to face. And Braun coming out and telling him that he was going to cash in his Money in the Bank contract at Hell in a Cell, making that match official there. And then Braun and Roman teamed up later in the night to take on the team of Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. And Roman was getting the heat on him throughout the whole match, finally made the tag to Braun Strowman. And this match, by the way, started at like 11 o'clock or so. It was a late start match, so you kind of figured something was happening. And Braun just kind of stood there on the apron, not coming in, as Dolph and Drew kind of looked at him. Finally, they started beating on Roman, and Braun came in and kind of joined in. You had Rollins and Ambrose come out individually for some reason afterward to try to make the save, and they were all laid out by Braun, Dolph, and Drew. So this leads to a couple things. The heel turn of Braun Strowman, which sets up a six-man tag at the Australia show in October, which is The Shield versus Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. And it also sets up the pretty much storyline for Roman going forward, with Roman going one-on-one with Braun at Hell in a Cell. I was almost somewhat expecting that it would be in a big ruse and having Baron Corbin come back out with the Money in the Bank at the end of the show and having Braun cash in to win the title. But that didn't end up happening. These guys are fighting inside Hell in a Cell. So far we have at Hell in a Cell, that match, plus Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton confirmed for inside Hell in a Cell as well. Braun and Roman have good chemistry, so I'm expecting a good match, especially with it being inside the cell. They can pull out all the tricks, and I'm sure somebody's going to go through the cage, etc. But it again goes to, how are we going to try to get Roman cheered? And they do it by having the guy who is probably his biggest competition as far not outside of Shield guys as being over as a face and now turning Braun heel again. And it's kind of, you know, amazing when you think about it, when you go back to the last year where everybody wanted to see Braun win the title. You know, he had the most cheers at last year at SummerSlam in the Fatal 4-Way match. People wanted to see him win at the Royal Rumble. You know, Braun was over, and now they go ahead and turn him heel. And, you know, comparing this to the Becky Lynch Charlotte stuff, which we'll talk about in a bit, you know, they at least got some boos for Braun at the end of the show. And I'll be interested to see what happens come Hell in a Cell, because Roman's still getting made the majority of his reactions are boos, but he's been getting a little bit more cheers than normal, and I think it maybe is just the fact that he's Universal Champ and he's finally, and there's that title's on Raw again, who knows, but I'll be interested to see what happens going forward with Braun, if Braun continues to maybe get cheers going up against Roman, which I'm sure he will be. I'm sure he's going to be the same character he was when he was fighting Roman before, flipping stuff over, you know, maybe he'll flip over another ambulance, who knows, but Braun versus Roman looks to be the main event of Hell in a Cell, and I'm expecting a good match with these two, considering it, you know, like I said, these guys have put on good matches before.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can consider the heel turn from Braun Strowman. I mean, he sided with McIntyre and Ziegler, and I mean, I guess they kind of did it a petty way. I think the only thing I'm kind of upsets me is that Kevin Owens really, I mean, him and Braun Strowman's program really came off as a good babyface for Braun Strowman, and they kind of just turned him heel automatically. I think they could have, I guess, just kept Braun like that tweener character and just had him wrestle Braun or Roman Reigns as just the same guy. Just, you know, that this just this badass dude from the South that just likes to beat people up and tell people to get these hands. I mean, I thought it was fine. I thought, like you said, it started really late. I was like, wow, this match is starting super late. It just goes to show that I think that, you know, it just makes it better. I mean, I don't care about the ratings or anything like that, but I think Raw just overall has been better the past few weeks because you have Roman Reigns, who doesn't just come out there and say, I've been screwed for 6 months. He's the champion. He defended against Finn. He's going to defend against Braun, I'm assuming, at least twice. I mean, my early prediction is they're going to screw it all up again with Braun Strowman, and Braun Strowman's going to be the second guy to fail in his cashing attempt, and he's going to cash it in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time, and he's going to, I would put money on Roman Reigns winning that match via shenanigans, however you want to do it, unless you bring Bray Wyatt back and Bray Wyatt helps Braun Strowman beat Roman Reigns for the title. But who knows? That's for, you know, a couple of weeks down the line. But I thought it was fine. I mean, like I said, I think Raw has been better now that Roman is the champion. I think, like we talked about before, once we got to WrestleMania, once we got past it, you know, it took a little bit longer, but here we are. And, you know, and for the foreseeable future, you know, the Universal title is going to be defended. Like I said, I think Roman Reigns has already defended it 3 times, like this past weekend house shows against Finn Balor. So he's defended the title already 3 times here in a week and a half.
Yeah, just having the Universal title back on Raw is a good thing for the show itself. It makes the show a bit more interesting when it comes to the overall presentation of it. I mean, you have guys now actually fighting to want to fight for the Universal title. I mean, you got, like you said, you had him defended against Finn Balor. Now he's going to defend it against Braun Strowman. It's not like we're going pay-per-view to pay-per-view where you had, you know, a Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe match where it didn't really mean too much. And then, you know, you just had Roman Reigns in random one-on-one matches where they didn't really mean anything on pay-per-view, and you wanted something for that Raw brand to shoot for, you know, and you had Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley at Extreme Rules as the main Raw brand show, the main Raw match there. Now you have your title back. It adds a different, you know, quote-unquote motivation to all the wrestlers on the show to want to go and strive to fight for the Universal title, and it just makes everything about the brand itself better. You know, there's no Brock Lesnar for the foreseeable future. We don't have to worry about him showing up at all. You know, he's probably not coming back till at least WrestleMania time after his fight with Daniel Cormier. So Raw becomes better. You know, you have the Shield back together. And, you know, some things are still hit or miss. You got the tag team division. That's a giant mess right now. And a lot of the undercard people don't care about. But the overall presentation of Raw since the last couple weeks, since after SummerSlam with Roman on it as champ, has been good. Then you add in the fact that... Oh, sorry. Did you want to add something, Cam?
No, sorry.
Oh, okay, all right. And then you have the fact that now, you know, last week Kevin Owens wasn't around selling the beating from Braun Strowman, and Kevin Owens showed up this week to answer the open challenge from Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship in a very, very good match. Probably, you know, I think I liked it a little better than the Finn Balor Roman Reigns match from Raw last week. Just a very good battle between both of these guys. Obviously, these two are two of the best workers in the company. Rollins ends up beating Kevin Owens clean after Kevin Owens misses a moonsault, and Rollins ends up hitting the curb stomp for the win. And then they come back from a commercial break, and Kevin Owens just sitting in the ring in a chair, kind of just looking depressed and beaten, and he finally just says, you know, I quit, and just walks out of the ring. Of course, you know, like Cam just said, the last couple months, Kevin Owens has pretty much been like almost like a stunt dummy for Braun Strowman, getting thrown off the top of a ladder, getting thrown off of a steel cage, having all of this stuff done to him. The squash match that took place at SummerSlam, he took a pretty brutal choke slam on the end of the ramp. So he's pretty much been putting his body on the line over the last couple months to get Braun Strowman over. And like we said, now the fact that, you know, he turned heel, it's kind of, okay, I mean, what was the point of Kevin Owens doing that? And now, of course, you know, he quote-unquote quits. I mean, nobody really thinks this guy is quitting. I mean, unless, you know, and I don't think, you know, even if they had him show up, and I don't think they would do this, even if they had him show up at All In this coming Saturday, I still don't think a lot of people would buy it. If you just had him sitting there in the crowd, even then I think people would be like, okay, you know, this is whatever. I don't think he really quit. I mean, they did add him to the alumni section, I think, of WWE.com, but they did that before when he was fired from SmackDown 2. But it sets up for me, at least, you know, we talk about, though, you know, Braun is now a heel on Raw. I think you there's potential in a possible Kevin Owens face run in the Return from List storyline. It's just a matter of where they're going with it. And they didn't really set anything up per se with it afterwards. I mean, they didn't have him interact with anybody. They just kind of had him walk out and leave. So it's, you know, it gives Kevin Owens a new dynamic to his character kind of after getting, you know, the one thing we talked about is after he got squashed and, you know, by Braun Strowman and I'm like, what does he do to recover? How does he get people to care about him again? I mean, this match right here is kind of like, or not this match, but the storyline after kind of, you know, after the Braun heel turn is the second most talked about thing that happened on Raw this past Monday. So it's got people talking about him again. Like I said, there's potential there for something with a face run down the line. But, you know, of course, Kevin Owens is pretty much better as a heel. So I'll be interested to see where this leads. I'm assuming maybe it leads to something with the Universal title after Roman's done with Braun Strowman. Who knows? I mean, Kevin Owens is still technically advertised again for the Australia show that's taking place in October. So people are talking about Kevin Owens again. It's good. Where do you think, Cam, this is possibly leading to in the future?
Well, I mean, my gut tells me they're hot on Kevin and they're cold and they're hot and they're cold. I mean, it could be a 50-50 thing. Like, they were in Toronto. They knew he would get a pop. They knew the match would be – the crowd would be super behind him and Seth Rollins. The match was great. So it could just be, like, a one-off thing. I mean, the fact that he did do the whole I quit thing. I mean, I can see, like – it depends on what they want to do with the Shield. I mean, the Shield's back, but – Dean Ambrose came out to Dean Ambrose music. Seth Rollins came out to Seth Rollins music. Roman Reigns came out to Roman Reigns music. They didn't come through the crowd. They didn't really like be together, even though Raw like had their cool little graphic on Instagram and, you know, hyped it up all week, like the Shield's back. And you didn't really see much of the Shield together. I mean, when they were together the first time, they were a prominent thing. You know, you had the same thing with the New Day. Like when you have a super over faction or person, you kind of like to showcase them. I mean, I know they all had their own individual matches, but that's just, I don't know. They just didn't, it just depends what they want to do with the Shield. I think changing Kevin Owens to a babyface, I mean, I don't know. I don't really see that happening. I don't see what they could do as like a positive. I mean, he would be a good babyface in some parts of the country, but I think like him and Seth Rollins, like a prolonged feud for the Intercontinental title, I think is something good. I mean, I think like to see Kevin Owens win another title. I think he's set in his ways. I mean, he's pretty much said he's going to retire as a WWE superstar. So I think he's there for life, regardless if he's a champion or not again. But it's interesting. I mean, the whole quit thing, I'd like to see him probably come back and maybe attack Seth Rollins or something. I don't know. I just don't. Right? It's interesting. And I'm glad that they're doing something with Kevin Owens again. Besides, I mean, he's been prominent for a long time. Everyone says, oh, you know, he gets buried in all this stuff. And it's like he's in elevated programs pretty much the past like 3 or 4 years. He hasn't really, I mean, it's mid card, but it's not lower card. He's not Tyler Breeze or anything by that stretch of the imagination, but it's interesting and it's good. I'm probably assuming he's not gonna be on TV this week. Maybe he gets the week off and doesn't have to travel all the way to China and then come back to Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, if Sami Zayn was close to returning and, you know, they didn't do the Braun, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre trio, I can maybe see a scenario down the line where Kevin Owens comes back with Sami Zayn and they get one more person to join up with them, whether it be like a Bobby Roode or maybe they try to turn Finn Balor heel and kind of get their trio to go one-on-one with the Shield. But like you said, it all depends on what happens to the Shield. It's one of those things where they have this unwritten bond where, you know, it's okay. They work together when they need to, but also they do their own individual thing, which, I mean, okay, whatever. I know you guys want to sell new merchandise and want to get as much money as possible from all this, but I said last week, the Shield getting back together almost seems like a way just for the crowd to cheer Roman. And it seems like I said, it almost seems like it's kind of working and they're protecting them. They're insulating him with the Shield stuff. But at the same time, they're, you know, keeping everybody separate where you have, like you said, Seth Rollins doing his thing, Dean Ambrose having a one-on-one match with Jinder. So I agree. It all depends on, you know, the future of Raw depends on how long they're going to stick together with this Shield stuff. You know, how long are they going to actually have another formidable group to go up against after the trio of Braun, Dolph, and McIntyre? So that's pretty much what Raw is based around right now. Over on the SmackDown side of things, of course, the big talking point, once again, is the whole Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch story, which took place again tonight. You know, and, you know, this is what I got to say this. I honestly thought Charlotte cut a promo beforehand talking about how she Becky can't have things handed to her, and just because she's better doesn't mean she should feel sorry for Becky. And I thought it was a decent promo by Charlotte, and I almost thought, okay, maybe they're sticking with this whole thing. And then you had Charlotte beat Carmella to retain the title in a good match. You know, that's the second match in a row, I think, you know, Carmella's impressed me, I guess, if I want to use that word, from an in-ring standpoint. I mean, from what she was in the ring, I thought she's done hell of a lot better than any of her previous performance over these last two. After the match, when Charlotte's celebrating, Becky comes out and attacks her. Whole crowd cheers again. There were "We Want Becky" chants before, while the right when the match started. Becky, you know, the crowd's chanting for Becky. Becky grabs the mic and says, you know, "Come Hell in a Cell, I'm taking my title back, you bitch." And the whole crowd cheers again. There's Becky chants as she's leaving. You know, one thing that kind of tipped me off to what I want to say here is that as Becky was holding up the title and the crowd was cheering, there was silence from the announcers. And then Becky walked to the back, obviously still getting cheered. They showed the recap of everything. And then the show ended with Charlotte and with the title on her, you know, kind of sitting there in the corner, just looking on stunned. And again, silence from the announcers with the whole crowd booing. Which makes me think two things. They actually either are switching this up and letting Becky just be the badass, you know, babyface, almost like a Stone Cold Steve Austin, where she just does what she wants and isn't afraid to speak her mind. Or they're just letting the crowd choose whoever the hell they want. I mean, I'm fine with either way. I mean, I thought they might be going this way, considering in the YouTube video they cut out the part about Becky ripping down the fans, and in the video package they showed tonight on SmackDown, they also didn't, like, pretty much the only thing they left out was the part with Becky calling out the fans. So these two are fighting at Hell in a Cell. I know they already have two Hell in a Cell matches, but I think this match would be the perfect match for another Hell in a Cell if they wanted to go all the way and do all three. Who knows? But I mean, I almost want to say this is Daniel Bryan-esque with Becky Lynch, where they have the opportunity to make, you know, I know Becky's not Charlotte. She's not the tall, blonde, athletic kind of one person that Charlotte is. But they have maybe it's just my Becky Lynch fandom, but I think they have a really good shot here to make Becky into the biggest star in their women division right now, outside of Ronda Rousey. I mean, the crowd is fully behind her. I know, yes, they've been Brooklyn and Toronto crowds, but everywhere you look on social media, anywhere, it's all about Becky. People want to cheer Becky. You know, I'm starting to think, you know, I still think Becky's going to win the title, if not at Hell in a Cell, then at Evolution, because assuming they, again, want to do Survivor Series Raw versus SmackDown, you would have to think Becky would win the title to take on Ronda Rousey, because I don't think they're going to do Charlotte versus Ronda there. And I don't think they're going to do this whole Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen thing again with Becky and Charlotte feuding right now. But it's obviously the most talked about storyline in the last week. I think easily it was more talked about than the Shield reunion on Raw. You know, the crowd is, like I said, the crowd is fully behind Becky right now. You can have Road Dogg or Ryan Satan, who we invited on the podcast tonight to debate this whole issue, and I kind of called him out in my column on HGCWrestling.com last week about Becky Lynch, where I kind of debunked all of his theories about, you know, turning good guys heel who are stale, and kind of called him out and everything. He didn't respond to us, obviously, because, you know, we're a small podcast and he probably doesn't want to go down to our level to be on here. But whatever, that's another story. But, I mean, this whole storyline, I mean, it's easily, I think, the most talked about, the most excited storyline the women's division has had over the last few years, easily. I mean, I know Ronda Rousey gets all the attention, but this storyline right here, if these two are just, you know, two former best friends, you let the crowd choose, and it seems like they're going to choose Becky, and you just want to let them beat the shit out of each other and go at it one-on-one, I think this has the potential to be a really, really good feud. And I'm assuming that it's going to go all the way to Evolution, because I think it'd be really dumb if this match, especially if this match, I don't care if it's Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella, I don't care about that. This match, the way the crowd is reacting to it, the way it's been getting talked about all around, like I said, the internet, social media, whatever you want to say, should easily be the main event of Evolution. Probably some kind of special attraction match. I don't know if you want to make it a street fight or whatever, but I mean, Becky has been knocking it out of the park lately, and I thought Charlotte did well tonight in her promo, but this, to me, is easily, hands down, the best storyline in the WWE right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken a long time, and it kind of seemed, you know, just when we thought Becky Lynch was kind of always going to be like that fourth horsewoman, she's kind of elevated herself up to where she could potentially be the number one. I'm not sure if they're backing off of it or if they're kind of just like letting things happen. They're kind of maybe take a couple steps back and not fully have Becky be a heel, and maybe it's just, you know, friends just not getting along for a while, because I'm assuming here in the next year or two, they'll probably be in some sort of tag team. But this has been a great feud. I am with you, Justin. I'm assuming they're going to headline Evolution. Maybe you have like the first ever like women's cage match or something, where they could do something along those lines and let the feud boil over. I assume at Hell in a Cell that Charlotte retains somehow. Maybe Carmella gets involved and they kind of extend Carmella in there for a little bit until they can actually get them one-on-one with Evolution. You know, if you really build that up, you know, that's a good way to sell those last few tickets and to get people, you know, wanting to watch the show, you know, live on the WWE Network. I thought it was good tonight. Like, yeah, I saw that Facebook video. And one of my friends pointed out to me, too, that they edited out that part and stuff like that. So maybe they kind of are like, okay, Becky is super over. Charlotte is better served as a heel. Even my thoughts in the long run, we talked about last week, when you head into WrestleMania and we're assuming, you know, it's going to be Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey, you want Charlotte to be the heel. Ronda Rousey can't be the heel. Ronda Rousey is just the natural, smiley baby face. You want Charlotte to cut those heelish promos. She is one of the best in the world at doing it. So you want her to cut those promos leading up and building up that match. So you almost need Charlotte to kind of, maybe they do, like I said, maybe they're setting up some sort of double turn, maybe not quite at Hell in a Cell, maybe at Evolution they do some sort of double turn, Bret Hart, Stone Cold status or something along those lines, where you do that and people continue to feed off of it. And I think that's something that they could discuss. But right now, like Justin said, it is, you know, SmackDown has always been great. And the fact that these guys, you know, again, they main evented SmackDown, they came out there, they did their thing. And the crowd's behind it. They're hot on it. I think Becky Lynch has done a great, great job. It's kind of maybe real raw frustration of, hey, you've always kind of been the fourth horsewoman. And, you know, this is maybe like real frustration becoming seen on television to where it's my time to shine. And they keep taking it from me and taking it from me. And, you know, almost a Daniel Bryan moment, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like they said, okay, you know, we're giving you the ball now. Sink your teeth into it and show to us that you can run with it. And, I mean, after 2 weeks, I think she's taken that ball and run with it pretty well. Like you said, whether it's on TV or all the stuff she's been tweeting on social media, you know, I think she's been doing a tremendous job. And I kind of agree, you know, I think they have, like I said, they have a chance on their hands to make Becky, you know, everybody think Charlotte, Charlotte, Charlotte. If Becky keeps performing like she's been performing on SmackDown the last couple weeks, they have a really good shot to make her the next big star. I don't think you're thinking about, like, they're thinking about changing from Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania to, you know, Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. But maybe, you know, like I said, maybe Survivor Series is Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey there, and Becky gives Ronda her first real wrestling match there and gets a competitive match out of her. Who knows? But I think she's doing a great job of it so far. And like we said, SmackDown continues just to kill it every week. You know, they had Daniel Bryan versus Andrade Cien Almas tonight, you know, kind of, you know, without, not advertisement, but I mean, these guys only went like about 10, 12 minutes and they still put on a great match. You have, you know, the tag team division, which is pretty much, you know, light years ahead of anything you see on Raw nowadays, putting on another great, more good matches tonight. And then you have the continuation of the AJ Styles Samoa Joe feud, with, you know, Samoa Joe pretending to call or calling AJ Styles' wife while AJ Styles is in the ring. So SmackDown once again continues just to, like we said, overall, I mean, Raw is getting better. Like we said earlier, Raw has its moments. It's got, you know, the top storylines are kind of connecting, but from an overall show perspective, like I said, hell, even R-Truth is being funny, trying to go out there and try to find a match with Carmella, and Paige being kind of just a straight-laced general manager. SmackDown overall is just connecting on another level, and it's almost a shame that there's no longer brand split paper, or, you know, not brand, you know, brand only pay-per-views, because, I mean, hell, you could look at SmackDown. If you did a SmackDown pay-per-view this month, of, you figure, let's just say another day, you know, the mixed tag with Daniel Bryan and The Miz, or Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella versus Miz and Maryse. You got Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. You could do at least one tag team match, if not a second tag team match. You got AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. You got Charlotte, Becky Lynch. I mean, that's not even counting Shinsuke Nakamura, who you figure would defend the U.S. title. you could pretty much do a SmackDown only pay-per-view right now and probably have it be more interesting overall than the dual branded pay-per-views that are going on. You could, hell, you even throw the 205 Live guys on there if you want. You know, you can have an undercard match of Naomi against the Iconics. There's just so much going on SmackDown to make its own pay-per-view right now that I almost wish that, like, just for one night they could do it. But hell, you know, if WWE, I mean, I know the ratings weren't good for Raw, they were down again, but that's obviously just a post-SummerSlam. And I'll be interested to see, though, if they keep up, you know, the decent TV that's been going on over the last few weeks, if they can maintain, especially at Raw, somewhat of the similar numbers they have right now going into Monday Night Football season.
Yeah, I mean, if the fact that they brought the Universal title, that'll keep some eyes on the product, you know, especially when Monday Night Football comes back, especially when it's marquee matches, when it's not like, you know, when it's not the Jets versus the Dolphins or something along those lines, you will have outside people that Roman Reigns is going to defend the Universal title against Drew McIntyre, you know, you'll get a handful more of eyes that'll say, okay, well, tune into that instead of watching this, you know, run of the mill Monday Night Football game. The fact that they didn't even advertise, I mean, it was awesome. Daniel Bryan, Cena, almost, they kind of, the DQ finish with the Miz and stuff, that let us linger for, okay, this is going to happen again. I thought it was awesome. I was like, they're really going to do this? Like, holy crap. It's like a dream match type of situation, and I hope they revisit. I mean, they have to. I mean, Daniel Bryan is the champion, and seeing all this sometime in 2019 just sounds like money. But yeah, I mean, we kind of sound the bang the same beat, but SmackDown, you know, 2 hours, I think they're just trying to put SmackDown's best foot forward as they head into Fox. I think, you know, the same thing. I mean, I still kind of believe that NXT will somehow end up on FS1 or something along those lines. And like I said before, as long as they can get somewhere between 700-800 to right around 1 million views, that they'll be completely okay with that. And I think that's totally doable with the roster that the WWE has with NXT, that they're just putting their best foot forward for SmackDown. They're putting the best team they can together, having the, you know, planting the best seeds. Because right now, I mean, this could easily fly on Fox. You have women being, you know, headlining the show, which would appease a lot of people. You have really good stuff for the WWE title. You have the mid-card stuff. You have interesting characters. You've got Shinsuke and Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. You have a lot of interesting things happening on SmackDown. So I think that, like you said, I mean, I don't want the separate pay-per-views, Justin. I don't want to be watching a pay-per-view every 3 weeks again. I kind of am fine with them, you know, the best of the best. And, you know, if Shinsuke can't defend the U.S. title, then I guess that's so be it, because the SmackDown is just so deep. But yeah, I think, you know, here the past few weeks, you know, Raw, you know, and the fact that the stock price has gone up again, you know, WWE, everyone likes to talk crap, and, you know, we have All In coming up, and you got Battle of Los Angeles coming up for PWG, and you've got a lot of things coming up. You've got the big Lucha Expo in Las Vegas this weekend, but the WWE continues to still say, hey, don't forget about us, guys. You know, at any given time, we can give you the best product overall.
And you said we bring up All In, taking place this Saturday in Chicago at the Sears Center. Sold out. Obviously, we talked about this before. It's sold out within an hour of tickets going on sale. I think we all anticipated it selling out, but we talked about it when it happened. I don't think anybody anticipated it selling it out as quickly as it did. And they're pretty much turning this into a giant, almost WrestleMania-like weekend where they're going to have podcasts there. They're having meet and greets. They're having, you know, breakfasts. They're having karaoke contests. All that kind of stuff going on. It's almost turning into a WrestleMania weekend where you're going out and you're spending a lot of money. I mean, that's why, part of the reason why, you know, I had bought tickets when they went on sale because I was still unsure. But then I started looking at it going, okay, I'm going to have to spend, you know, $200 to $300 on a flight to Chicago. I'm going to have to spend $100 a night on a hotel room. And obviously want to go and do some of the stuff here. I'm going to have to spend money on bracelets and meet and greets, et cetera, et cetera. So when it came down to the brass tacks, and Cam and I were talking about this a little bit about before we recorded last week, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, this is great. It's great that they've, you know, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Cody are funding this. It's great that they're selling out, that they're on pay-per-view, etc. But at the same time, you look at it where, okay, you know, it's a lot of money to spend if you're not, like, close to it in the Chicago area to go out and do all this. I mean, case in point, like we talked about all last week before we recorded, you know, I spent $25 to go see Pentagon front row at a local indie show, and then another $20 to get his picture and autograph. I spent last year at Ring of Honor New Japan Global Wars, I spent $30 to sit sixth row and watch Kenny Omega and Cody and all them and the Young Bucks, and then I spent another $20 at a meet and greet to meet Kenny Omega and get an autograph. So it's one of those things where it's great that it's happening. It's, you know, for everybody that's going, I hope you have a blast. I think it's probably going to be an awesome weekend with everything going on. There's so much stuff going on. But at the same time, when you look at it and you say, okay, you know, I'm looking at it from my perspective where I can see these guys WrestleMania weekend probably at in New York. And I'm also, my 2019 wrestling budget is going to be insane. Assuming I go to WrestleMania in New York and SummerSlam in Toronto next year. And, you know, I'm also personally trying to buy a house. So I'm just going to be bankrupt by the end of next year. So start supporting our site financially so I can make some extra money. But, you know, when I looked at it, I said, okay, you know, I'll put this off to the side for now. Like, they're doing Ring of Honor and New Japan Global Wars here again in Buffalo in November. So I'll be able to go to that and probably see most of these guys there too. So while it's fun to see them doing all of this, you know, making the money, getting publicity for themselves, maybe changing the face of pro wrestling when it comes to, you know, advertising and promotions, etc. You also, for me at least, I had to be kind of financially conservative and be like, I can probably see these guys cheaper in person a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, well, overall, I mean, StarCast is separate from the All-In show, so that's a completely separate thing. I think StarCast is kind of overpriced. I think they are smart, though, because just like WrestleCon or WrestleMania weekend, I mean, people are coming and, like, you know, you're going to spend money. It's just, that's just the way it's going to be. If you want to go to, like, the upper echelon things, it's going to cost a pretty penny. I guess, like, the argument can be made, especially AAW, which is, like, the bigger promotion in Chicago. They're running the night before on the Friday now, and they have a lot of people. I mean, they have Penta and a lot of guys for their show, and then the next, on that Sunday, another promotion is running, and they have Austin Aries and Penta and a bunch of other people. So there's a lot of options out there. The All-In show wasn't expensive as I wish I could go to the All-In show. I probably would have skipped on the StarCast. I probably would rather cruise around Chicago than actually, you know, like pay $50 to fucking hang out with Ted DiBiase or whatever. That's like a hard pass in my opinion. But yeah, the show is going to be great. I'm, you know, glad that they're doing this. I think it's going to be the first of at least another one. I mean, I assume they're going to do another one, maybe a third one. I don't know. I think they might turn it into maybe like twice a year or something. Something tells me that they're going to do another one somewhere in LA, maybe New York City, something along those lines. But I feel like there is going to be another one somewhere eventually.
Yeah, just hopefully, you know, they should spread this out better than kind of like New Japan did with their shows where, you know, New Japan came back to California three or four months was it after their first show, and it just kind of wasn't spread out enough properly where you have All In this weekend. When's the next New Japan show in California? It's October, right?
September. It's like September something.
September something. Okay.
And then they're running the Young Lions show in November too.
Yeah. So you have that there. Then of course you have the Garden show taking place in April. So if they're going to do this again, assuming that they're staying independent and not going to the WWE anytime in the near future, I'm assuming you're going to see them, like you said, run it maybe, you know, maybe you try to do it again at the same time or next year, maybe a little bit earlier, like in July before SummerSlam. But yeah, I got a feeling this is going to happen again. I'm also getting the feeling more and more when you listen to these guys talk, you listen to like Omega and Cody and the Young Bucks talk and how they say that, you know, they kind of all, between Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody and Hangman Page, they all kind of made a quote-unquote pact that they're either all going to stay independent or all, you know, go together to the WWE. Now, of course, if they do all go together to the WWE, WWE has a cash cow right in front of them to turn this into a giant invasion angle that can get everybody in the wrestling world talking. You can get ratings galore to the WWE, whether assuming they do it on Raw or SmackDown. You can set up, you know, these guys versus the Shield, which would just be, you know, insane money for them overall. But I'm getting the feeling, and I think we've kind of, you know, kind of talked about this a little bit, that I'm starting to think that it's going to happen eventually. It almost, I don't want to say it almost has to happen, but I just think at some point in the next couple of years, they're going to go to the WWE. But I'm starting to think more and more that with the success of All In, I'm assuming it's going to be a, you know, a big pay-per-view success where you can watch it on Honor Club. And apparently, Cam said before the show, you can find out and you can watch it on New Japan World 2. I don't know if that's live or afterwards, who knows. But I think these guys are sticking around doing their thing for at least another year and holding off on any WWE jump until 2020. You know, the rumors are going to be out there. People are going to talk the whole time. But I think these guys want to do this. They want to do another one. They want to probably work the Garden with New Japan and Ring of Honor. keep doing their thing, keep building their brand. And I think these guys are smart enough to know when they're going to hit their peak on the indie scene, and when they realize, okay, you know, we've done as much as we can possible here. Let's go to the WWE and make our legacy even bigger than it already is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think it might be a little bit further down the line. Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks were just on Chris Jericho's podcast this past week, and Cody pretty much said he's almost a complete no going back because he just doesn't want to be a part of any creative process. He, you know, wants to do his own thing for the rest of his life. I definitely think somewhere in the next 4 or 5 years, especially when the Bucks, you know, they've done everything possible, All In Five is completed or something along those lines, that they'll eventually come, just, you know, to get that huge guaranteed, you know, $5-7 million for a couple years, you know, plus the merch and plus working in Raw and SmackDown and things like that, where you can make, you know, somewhere near the $10 million figure in a couple years in the WWE nowadays if you're a top guy, and then you can rest comfortably. But who knows, maybe they'll just go down in history as the guys that, you know, never, even though Nick did work a dark match sometime before. He wrestled a singles match against, I can't remember to save my life, but he did work a WWE match before.
And of course, you know, there's talk about people, you know, before we get into the actual All In card itself, there's, you know, the rumors abound about who could be appearing. You know, there's still CM Punk doing his autograph signing at the Pro Wrestling Tees store in Chicago the day before this. Although, if you're to believe the Young Bucks in any of their interviews, they've said they made offers, they made overtures to CM Punk, you know, in the build-up to this, and he pretty much turned them down. So I'm starting to get the feeling that CM Punk probably isn't going to be there. You know, there's, of course, Chris Jericho, who's kind of doing his own thing right now. He's still obviously the New Japan IWGP Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, so he's still got that title. You know, Jericho and the Bucks are doing that Jericho's cruise later in the year, so there's possibility there. He's even suggested about saying how he's going to be a free agent in 2019. I still don't think he'll work a North American show without, you know, I don't want to say that Vince McMahon's blessing, but I can't just see him showing up there and, you know, kind of not burning a bridge with Vince McMahon when it comes to that. You know, of course, Vince takes pretty much anybody back. He'll take Alberto Del Rio back however many times he wants, but I don't see that happening. Although I do think, you know, the recent release, we just found out Neville is out of his WWE contract. I'd say there's a pretty strong possibility that Neville ends up showing up at All In. I mean, if I'm Ring of Honor right now, or even if I'm Impact, I'm calling Neville up right now and saying, hey, I want you on my show. I'll give you X amount of money. Especially, you know, we just talked about them probably staying, but let's just say doomsday scenario for Ring of Honor and the Bucks and Hangman Page and them leave. I think Neville, it's not obviously going to be, you know, the same level of replacement, but he's a guy that you can probably build a Ring of Honor on if you get him in there. So I can see Neville making an appearance at the show, but, I mean, outside of the other two big names people like to talk about with Chris Jericho and CM Punk, I don't see that happening at all, but I could definitely see Neville showing up at some point, whether it be in the over-the-budget Battle Royal to get a shot at Jay Lethal's Ring of Honor title, or just doing some kind of running in one of the Bullet Club matches. I think he'll end up being there.
Me personally, I think you're going to see him be in the Battle Royal. I think you're going to... I mean, if they want to go all the way with it and have some sort of work, some sort of thing, I mean, it's going to work out for me because I'm going to Death Before Dishonor in Las Vegas, where if they do some sort of thing where he wins that and then he beats Jay Lethal and, you know, he's the Ring of Honor world champion, they could work some sort of per appearance deal. Ring of Honor has a pretty decent, you know, with Sinclair backing them, they have a decent money cow sort of following them now. So they could easily, you know, hey, let's do something for at least a couple of shows and see where it goes. I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I could see Jericho showing up just at the end to set up, just sort of do something for his cruise. I mean, he talked about his podcast where he mentioned All In to Vince, and Vince reportedly said he wished that they would have hit him up because he would have helped them book or help him promote the area because it's hard to promote in September or something along those lines, and they sold out in 30 minutes, which probably made Vince fucking probably piss the fuck off. So it's one of those things where, I mean, I think it's going to be good. I think, like I said, I think the big surprise is Neville showing up and becoming Ring of Honor world champion.
Yeah, so you look at the card overall. Obviously, you know, from a wrestling standpoint, it's going to be a very good card. The main event of the show being Kenny Omega versus Pentagon, a match that a lot of people have been wanting to see for a very long time now. So that's your think I'm assuming that's your main event of the show. I mean, the only other match I could see possibly main eventing the main show would be the Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido versus the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi. But I would, like I said, I would assume Kenny Omega is your top draw there. Pentagon is probably your top independent draw there. I mean, he really doesn't have a promotion. I know he wrestles for Impact, he wrestles for AAA, but as far as I know, he still doesn't have a home promotion. Of course, there's obviously the rumors out there all the time that Pentagon and Phoenix are going to sign, or WWE is interested with them at least. And, you know, me being the big Pentagon fan I am, and if you haven't watched Lucha Underground from last week, the Pentagon Cage Last Man or Machine Standing match from last week, the main event, was probably the best match so far of the year when it comes to Lucha Underground. Just a hard-hitting brawl, you know, typical Lucha Underground bloodfest kind of thing, but both guys came out of it looking strong in the end. So if you haven't seen that match yet, I'd recommend going out there and seeing it. But I would want Pentagon, especially Pentagon, nowhere near a WWE ring, because there's no way they're going to let him be Pentagon in their kind of program, in their promotion. And same thing with Phoenix. You know, Phoenix is a great wrestler, but he's probably would get pigeonholed into 205 Live when it comes to being in the WWE. I mean, I would like to think they're smarter than that, but I just don't see good things coming if Pentagon and Phoenix ever left their independent contracts for the WWE.
Yeah, I saw that rumor too. Something about Shane Strickland too. I think Shane Strickland would be pretty cool in NXT. I guess it depends on them being cool in NXT for a long time. I mean, it just depends. Like I said, if NXT really becomes a full-time touring brand where they don't call guys up all the time, where it's okay, if we really, really, really need Aleister Black and we have this super, super good idea for him, okay, call him up to the main roster. Or maybe if it's like once in a while, but if they have NXT where it's every Wednesday they're in Philadelphia, and the next week they're in Iowa, and the next week they're in, you know, Minneapolis and things like that. And if it becomes that, then I think you can have these guys like Penta and stuff come on there and be full-time NXT guys, where it's not, where NXT is a little bit different than the traditional WWE style. I mean, they kind of had accepted that as like, this is our, you know, alternative rock, if you will, punk rock version of the WWE, where those guys would fit in fine. I mean, I could see a million little kids doing the Sierra Miedo thing. I think that'd be kind of interesting. They would definitely get the pop from the Latino fans. But I don't really see them coming soon. Like, I think it just depends on what, you know, once they get the real TV deals and once this thing's flowing and once they really figure out what they want to do with NXT, then I think Triple H makes his next big moves for more independent guys.
And, you know, I talked about, like I said, I brought up the two big matches, obviously, with Omega versus Pentagon and the six-man tag. I mean, you look at the rest of the card, and like I said, it's great that these guys are doing it, and it's great that they sold out, and I'm sure the crowd will be into it all night, but I look at the rest of the card and just think, I probably wouldn't spend, if I didn't have Honor Club or New Japan World, I probably wouldn't spend the $40 I think it costs to get this on DirecTV or Dish, or I think it's on all the major providers, DirecTV, Dish, Fios. I know it's on DirecTV and Dish. I'm not 100% sure about Verizon Fios. But I'm just looking at it and going, okay, you know, it's cool. Some of these guys are funny. I mean, okay, Okada versus Marty Scurll. But, you know, you just look at the rest of it, it's like, all right, I mean, let's put it this way. I'll bring this up now. Cam and I were discussing this, texting back and forth earlier in the show, where if you or earlier in the day, I should say, where if you took this card that's in front of you for All In right now and compared it with the roster that you have in the WWE and put together the best possible matches you could have in the WWE, kind of like they've done with the best possible matches they could do here at All In, which show would you rather go to? And I'll just list, I'm going to list the, how should I start this? I'll start with the All-In matches since we're talking about All-In. So here's the matches that are confirmed for All-In. They're having the pre-show, which is on WGN America, which includes the over-the-budget Battle Royal, which will have the winner taking on Jay Lethal later in the night for a shot at the Ring of Honor title. And you have the Briscoes taking on Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Then on the main show, you have Nick Aldis defending the NWA title against Cody Rhodes. You have Okada versus Marty Scurll. You have Joey Janela versus Hangman Page. You got the six man I talked about. You have Christopher Daniels versus Stephen Amell. You have a four-way women's match with Madison Rayne, Britt Baker, Chelsea Green, and Tessa Blanchard. You have, as I said, Jay Lethal taking down the winner of the Over the Budget Battle Royal. And you have, like I said, the main event, Kenny Omega versus Pentagon. You look at that card and I say, okay, you know, not bad. You know, obviously these guys are limited by some things. I'm sure it's, you know, New Japan probably didn't want them using all of the talent from there. And I'm sure there are certain, you know, smaller promotions that maybe, you know, some independent guys that were tied down by certain things that couldn't do it. But like I said, at the same time, I'm looking at this going, all right, if I didn't have a Honor Club membership or a New Japan World membership, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to go and buy this on pay-per-view.
I kind of, I think, well, assuming Kenny Omega Pentagon is the main event, I think it would be two. That's going to be a 5-star, 6-star. You know, let's see if Meltzer gives it 10 stars. I'm really excited for Joey Janela, Adam Page. I'm excited. I like both of those guys. I think both of those guys have NXT written freaking all over them. I think Adam Page has WWE main roster written all over him right now. I think that's going to be an awesome match. You have the six man, which will be a lucha style. I think will be just awesome. I'm assuming the Bucks and Obushi put over Rey Mysterio. The Battle Royal will be cool. I think, you know, you got Billy Gunn and stuff like that. I think it's a solid card. If I was off, I would buy it simply because just to support. I think like your top five matches is a super WrestleCon best of the best. I mean, you look at it, goes into what I'm writing about my column. I mean, they are doing this as basically paying homage to Being the Elite. This is just pretty much if you've been on Being the Elite and you're one of the boys, you're on the show. But this is really the best. I mean, outside of a Naito or, Matt Sydal, there's maybe a handful of guys that you could say, okay, they could be inserted into the card. But when you look at it, this is the best of the best simply because the WWE, Will Ospreay, you know, you could argue him being on the show, but the WWE has Ricochet now. They have Matt Riddle. They have Adam Cole. They have all these guys that it's like, okay, all these guys that were making huge names for themselves outside of the Progress guys, which none of the Progress guys, because like I said, this is a Being the Elite thing. They haven't really crossed paths with the Progress guys. The Strong Style Boys and all those things where this is the cream of the crop for the independent seed right now. And once the WWE plucks an Okada, once they pluck, okay, we can't get the Bucks, but Hangman Page, you know, he's in there too, but you know, we offered him a sweet deal and he's going to come now. And, you know, now we're going to get, you know, we're either going to get Phoenix or we're going to get El Bandino or we're going to get, you know, one of these other guys, we're going to get Aerostar or one of these other dudes where they're going to pick and pluck and take everybody, especially like I said, if NXT becomes a full-time thing and they need to fill 2 hours and they have introduced, you know, you have the top title, the North American title, a women's title, tag team titles, they probably introduce another title and you have a lot of guys that need to fill a lot of spots. But I think overall, this is the best card that, you know, this is, you know, to me, this is an A card in my opinion. I think, you know, I'm a big fan. I think it's cool of Scorpio Sky. Brandon Cutler, who is an independent wrestler who's been wrestling. He lives in the next town over where I'm from, where the Young Bucks actually grew up to, where they used to wrestle in High Risk Wrestling, which was Matt Jackson's promotion when they were younger. Brandon Cutler, who just came out of retirement, they actually announced him for the Over the Budget Battle Royal, which I'm super stoked for him. I mean, this talk about he's just a guy, and then he didn't wrestle for a long time, and then he's making his way back into the business, and you know they're hooking their childhood friend up with a huge spot. So I think that's super cool of them to do something like that. But overall, I think it's a cool thing. I mean, you got Cracker Barrel, like we talk. I listened to the Jericho podcast where they talk about All In. You got Cracker Barrel, you know, doing the catering for the boys and just. Overall, I mean, just every time I hear Cody Rhodes on any sort of podcast or anything, it just makes me love and appreciate the guy so much more.
Yeah, and of course, don't get me wrong. Me saying I wouldn't probably spend the $40 on it doesn't mean, like I said earlier, what I'm talking about. I'm not taking away anything from these guys have accomplished. I mean, these guys have gone out of their way to fund the show. Like you said, you can tell listening to them that these guys are, you know, fully invested into it. They're loving everything they're doing about it. Hopefully, I think it's Matt Jackson that has the flu. Hopefully, he'll recover and get better. I'm sure he will get better before Saturday. I'm sure he's being pumped full of fluids and IVs right now to make sure he gets back up to 100%. So, we listed that card, so we came up with a card that, you know, okay, if you're the WWE and you took together what you could possibly put together with everybody all across your roster, here's what we came up with, where you could have the same kind of Battle Royal. I guess I should list the Battle Royal last, considering that's who we left over is. But you have, so you could do the Undisputed Era versus the Shield, Ricochet versus Andrade Cien Almas for the North American title, Trent Seven and Tyler Bate versus the Usos, Pete Dunne against Shinsuke Nakamura, Ciampa versus Gargano, Charlotte versus Becky versus Candice LeRae versus Kairi Sane, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE title. Then you could have the Velveteen Dream versus The Miz and the Battle Royal with pretty much your leftover guys like Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, The New Day, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Rusev, etc. All those guys you want to name. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit bigger star power-wise when you look at that kind of card from the WWE. And I'm sure if you put this out to the majority of wrestling fans, I'm sure the most of them will end up choosing that WWE card over what's presented on the All In show. And like I said, it's not taking anything away from anything these guys are doing, but I think if you threw those cards out together, I mean, like, you just would assume you're, okay, where would the All-In show win out in the end? I'm looking at, I think, just because it's never been done before, I'd probably want to see Kenny Omega versus Pentagon over whatever would be the main event of the WWE show, which would probably end up being the Shield Undisputed Era match. And, as much as I like Adam Cole and all of them, I still think I'd prefer to see Kenny Omega versus Pentagon in that situation. And then, you look at the other things across. I would take the WWE's women's match over the All In women's match. Just going down the line, I think the 6-man tag would probably win out if you want to compare it to, let's say, like the Usos versus Trent Seven and Tyler Bate. So I think, when you compare it overall, I think you'll end up taking most of the WWE card, but I think, like we said, the top couple matches on this All-In card would beat the top couple matches on that WWE card I just listed.
Sorry. Yeah, I think personally, when you go down the card match for match, I think Ricochet versus CN Almas, I think, has a chance to steal the show if you compared that to like an Adam Page versus Joey Janela, which I think would be awesome. If we just went the 6-man versus the other 6-man, I don't know, man. Like, just based upon like, it just depends on the setting. Like, that if it was in Reseda, I would take the Lucha pretty much 6-man. If it that big overall WWE product style, I want to see the Undisputed Era's entrance versus the Shield's entrance. I think it would be awesome. Adam Cole versus Roman Reigns, I think, eventually is going to happen, and that just sounds like freaking money to me, too. That's another match where Roman Reigns could look like $1 million, and everyone would, oh, Roman Reigns is so great. It's like, yeah, because he's in the freaking ring with Adam Cole. But overall, it just depends. Like I just said, I love this idea. I think if you went match for match, it just depends on where you're at. We're going to put this up on the internet. I hope we get some sort of like backlash from super indie smart fans. And they're like, I would so see the Bucks screw the WWE, blah, blah, blah. Your guys' card sucks. Like, I want to see something along those lines. I hope it causes an uproar because I didn't really see nothing about that. But, if I told Justin, I put him up to him, it's September 1st. They're both in Chicago. The WWE's running in the Allstate Arena, All In's running in the Sears Center. What show are you going to? If I got to spend $150 and I got like a pretty decent floor seat, I would probably take the WWE show simply because, like I said, it's the more of a spectacle thing. I think All In's obviously going to have their own spectacle thing and the big lights. And hopefully, they're All In. So I know it's going to be a giant scale thing too. And it's going to be awesome. But I think I would still maybe go with the WWE just because of like the Usos. Like I put that together, Trent Seven and Tyler Bate versus the Usos, I think would be super awesome. Just all these matches that you could have would be really, really good. And you're putting the best of the best up there.
Yeah. And all, like you said, it all depends on pricing. All In tickets were obviously, not that expensive. So it's, at the same time, if I was in Chicago, it's just, again, one of those things like where I can't justify spending all the money traveling to this weekend. But if you're in the Chicago area and you're like, it's, $50 to sit, a couple sections over from center ring in the 100 level. Yeah, I would absolutely go ahead and do that in a heartbeat. But I kind of agree that, if I was able, if they were given the full time and it wasn't, watered down or held back by WWE storytelling shenanigans, etc., I would probably end up going to the WWE show if this was hyped up as like a WrestleMania-like card and they gave them like 4 hours to let these matches go out and do their thing. I think that's what I would end up choosing as well. Again, we'll put it out there on the internet. Like you said, I'm waiting for I can't believe you would, not support these guys from All In. They're putting all their money into this and doing, all this on your own. You're just back in the corporate machine. I could absolutely see that response coming in once we post these cards online. As far as predictions go for All In, if you want to start, I think I'm going to assume that Cody Rhodes ends up winning the NWA Championship. I mean, you have Billy Corgan running things over there right now. It'll pay, obviously, respect to his dad, Dusty Rhodes, who was the former NWA champ, multiple-time NWA champion. So, I mean, if you want to call, you know, quote-unquote locks of the night, I think, you know, Cody winning the NWA title is pretty much the lock of the night, if you ask me. I mean, I know they've been building up Nick Aldis over there, but at the same time, you know, I thought at one time when I was watching Impact for HTCWrestling.com, I thought at one time there was potential for Nick Aldis somewhere down the line in the WWE to be a top star, but the guy just never showed any full-on charisma for me to get behind him. And now he's, you know, he's married to Mickie James, so personally to me he's living the good life regardless of whatever the hell he did because he's married to Mickie James. But I just don't, you know, Nick Aldis is one of those guys that I think is going to be not even an NXT consideration. He's just going to be one of the bigger names on the indie scene for the rest of his career. And from what I can tell, he's happy for it. It's good for him. But, I mean, I would be stunned if Cody doesn't win that title here.
See, I think the complete opposite. I mean, I know. I think just because due to, like, contractual obligations and, I mean, or NWA, I know they're running a show, but who knows? I mean, I could see them doing the whole thing, but and then, like, having, you know, Cody, like, you know, thanking his father and all those things. But at the same time, I think it's pro wrestling, and I think Cody Rhodes is going to lose the match, do the job, whatever you want to, however you want to call it. And just his entrance and everything that he's probably going to do throughout the match for his father, for probably Goldust, for just everything that he is. But I still think at the end of the day, he's going to lose. I think lock of the night is Rey Mysterio 619ing the both Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi, some psychotic triple 619 super crazy finish, and they beat the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi. I think if you're talking about lock, I think that's the lock. And then as far as Kenny Omega and Pence again, I think they're gonna go Kenny. I think simply just because he's the IWP, you know, heavyweight champion. I know Pence is, you know, a big name, but I think at the same time, Kenny's kind of the cream of the crop, and it's a Bullet Club show, so I don't think they're going to end their show with, like, a Bullet Club member losing, or a Golden Elite member, or whatever subgroup they have going on this week, whatever side joke they have going on. But I think that probably, if we had to pick a lock of the night, I think the lock of the night for me is Kenny Omega.
I mean, I can also see, you know, I guess, you know, my second choice would probably be Okada versus beating Marty Scurll, simply because I don't think New Japan would let Okada lose to Marty Scurll. I mean, you know, Okada's kind of doing his, like, you know, mental breakdown kind of thing since losing the IWGP heavyweight title, but I think I would be absolutely stunned if Marty Scurll ends up beating Okada. I mean, it's, yeah, and I'm with you as far as Kenny Omega beating Pentagon. I mean, I saw Pentagon, and, you know, it's, you know, like you said, Kenny Omega is the guy in New Japan right now, and Pentagon, like you said, as big of a name as he is, he's still pretty much just an independent guy overall. And like I said, when I saw Pentagon at my local indie show, he lost to Braxton Sutter, got pinned in a triple threat match between, it was him, Braxton Sutter, Pepper Parks, whatever you want to call him, and Michael Elgin in a triple threat match in the main event. He's one that ended up taking the pin and letting Braxton Sutter win. So I'm sure Pentagon doesn't care too much about doing the job to Kenny Omega. So I would assume, like you said, Kenny Omega would win there as well. Of course, the big question that we have yet to ask on this show, and I'll ask you, Cam, does Flip Gordon get on this show?
Cody said in his Ask Me Anything today on Reddit that everyone's going to be disappointed, like, you know, it's no storyline, like, you know, we just didn't have Flip be in the show. I mean, I don't know. I think he's probably there. I mean, he's doing, like, the party before or something. They're going to do some sort of stupid angle where he somehow gets on the show. Does he enter the Battle Royal? I could see him, like, getting in the Battle Royal somehow and then just end up losing anyways or something along those lines. But, I mean, I think he's definitely going to – I mean, the fact that he's having the party before and everything that's gone into it, I mean, I think he's going to be there in some capacity. But who knows? I mean, maybe they'll rib him and, like, give him, like, the NXT treatment where he sits there ringside and kind of just, like, waves to the fans and stuff. Maybe yeah. Next time, kid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm assuming, like you said, he's going to be in some capacity. He'll make some kind of appearance overall on the show. I'm sure it'll probably end up getting one of the bigger pops of the night overall, considering the story they've ended up building up here with, you know, Flip Gordon continuously trying to get himself on the show and being denied, you know, left and right. I'm assuming, like I said, it'll probably be, like, a big reaction once he finally shows up, whether he takes off the bear costume and it's him, or he, you know, jumps the railing and interferes in Cody's match, who knows, but it'll probably be one of the cooler moments overall of the night. I plan on trying to watch it, assuming my work schedule works out, you know, writing about it on htcwrestling.com. So I think it's going to be a good weekend. You know, I'm sure we'll get, you know, it'll be one of those things kind of similar to WrestleMania weekend where you see people start tweeting out stuff. You see the StarCast account tweeting out stuff and pictures and videos of all the stuff going on that weekend. I think it'll be, like I said, a WrestleMania light type weekend where you're going to have like a cool access experience. You know, I mean, from what I can see compared to, I mean, if you want to compare this to WrestleMania Access, I mean, I've been to two WrestleManias now. I've gone to Access. Access is one of those things where if you buy the general admission ticket and you pay the 50 or 60 bucks, whatever it is to get in, I mean, in the 4 hours you're going to be there, you'll maybe meet two wrestlers. You know, they kind of rotate it every couple hours, but you know, those things are full. And unless you're paying like the extra money to meet a specific wrestler for a VIP thing, I've said, you know, especially if I go next year to Mania, that I'm probably going to go to one, maybe two settings of, you know, Access. And then now that I know what I want to do, I'll probably just go to WrestleCon, meet people there, take in all the indie shows that are happening during the weekend. But, you know, from an overall perspective, is it cool to go see all the setup and the history and the designs and all the historical stuff there? But you don't really get as personable experience at Access as you would at a WrestleCon, or probably even if you would at the StarCast convention, where, yeah, it's sold out. There's going to be a lot of people there. But at the same time, you're not expecting 60,000 people from around the world to convene in one city, where StarCast is going to have, what, like 5,000 to 10,000 people convening down there for this whole weekend, kind of doing the thing. So I'm assuming it's going to be a nice interactive fan experience as far as that goes, more personable, more getting the chance to interact with the wrestlers here and there and not have to be like, you know, not like kind of push through the line. I mean, they don't really push you through at the WWE stuff, but, you know, you don't really have the time, the chance to kind of, you know, take an extra couple seconds to go and say something to whoever it is that you're meeting. Not like when I met Kenny Omega at the New Japan Ring of Honor stuff, I had a chance, not like a couple extra seconds to talk to him. I wasn't there for minutes on end, but you know, it was one of those things where it was more personable, and I'm assuming that's what you're going to get with, you know, all of this meet and greet stuff going on that weekend.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why you get the price point too. It's going to be a little bit more intimate, but I mean, the only complaint, I guess, on my end is the fact that you had to get Serpa bracelets and then everybody else's separate money involved into it. I've been to conventions like that where you pay money to get in and then you pay more money to meet each individual person. So it's a good idea by the wrestlers and by StarCast and Conrad Thompson and everybody to probably turn a pretty decent profit and, you know, make a pretty good amount of money selling 8x10s and t-shirts for a couple days. So I think it's kudos to them, to the overall thing. I mean, if, like I said, if I was going to All In, I probably would just rather cruise around Chicago and eat pizza and go watch like a Cubs game or something.
Yeah, that's how WrestleCon kind of is too, at least how it used to be. You had to pay $20 to get in the convention, and then it's, you know, meeting everybody else that you want to meet and paying however much they're paying, you know. I met the Iron Sheik for, I think it was like $30, and I met Mickey James and it was like $20, but like, I like DDP and Jake Roberts, but I ain't paying $100 for a photo op with them. So, you know, it's one of those things where you got to pick and choose your battles when it comes to that stuff. But yeah, it's like I said, it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm sure we'll see it all over social media in the weekend ahead, with everybody posting pictures and videos from all the happenings going on. We'll be hopefully reviewing the All-In show for you at htcwrestling.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at htcwrestling for all kinds of updates throughout the weekend on the show. We'll be back next week to recap All In and kind of give, like we were talking about a little bit earlier, with the future of the WWE and all the independent wrestling going on and NXT and what it could become, kind of give a glimpse into what we think the future might be for the WWE 5 years or so down the line, with who will be there, who's going to be the top stars, what we can expect from them in the future. So we'll have that to look forward to give to next week, as well as any other kind of wrestling news that breaks throughout the weekend, even that if it's not All In, whether it's WWE related or whatever it is. But until next week, I am Justin C. signing off for myself and my co-host Cam. We hope everybody that's going to All In this weekend has a blast, and we hope it's a fun viewing experience for those watching at home, which I'm sure it will be. But until next week, we will talk to you guys later.